America has become an empire not by choice but by historical accident. With an economy 3 times larger than its nearest competitor and military bases spanning the globe, the United States functions as a de facto global emperor. This reality creates a profound tension with America's founding principles. Unlike traditional empires, America's dominance manifests through economic interdependence and military presence. Countries worldwide depend on the American market for significant portions of their GDP, creating a gravitational pull more powerful than formal imperial structures. Even minor American economic decisions ripple globally, from shrimp consumption affecting Mekong Delta farmers to Dell's facility relocations impacting entire national economies. What truly makes America an empire is the combination of economic dominance with unmatched military power. American forces maintained global presence not primarily to conquer territory, but to preemptively disrupt emerging powers before they become threatening. This system binds countries more tightly than formal imperial structures ever could. The challenge lies in systematically managing global dominance rather than merely reacting to events, while never using the word empire despite its reality. This requires reconciling moral principles with power realities, understanding that pursuing noble ends often requires uncomfortable compromises. What kind of president can successfully manage America's imperial reality while preserving its republican soul? History suggests the answer lies in leaders who combine ruthless pragmatism with moral purpose, what might be called Machiavellian presidents. The greatest American presidents shared this quality. Lincoln preserved the Union by deceiving about his slavery intentions and suspending habeas corpus. Roosevelt secretly armed France against neutrality laws and allied with Stalin despite moral contradictions. Reagan pursued Soviet destruction through arms races they couldn't afford while publicly speaking of freedom and morality. Presidents attempting direct virtue, Carter, Bush, failed spectacularly, while ruthless presidents without moral purpose, Nixon, Kennedy, also failed. The successful president must embrace an uncomfortable synthesis, focusing on both the accumulation and limits of power while becoming a master at managing illusions. The coming decade requires less passion and more meticulous adjustment of relationships with countries like Israel and Iran. The president must conduct ruthless, unsentimental foreign policy while appeasing a public with unreasonable fantasies of being loved. As Lord Palmerston said about Britain, "We have no eternal allies and we have no perpetual enemies. Our interests are eternal and perpetual." The September 11 attacks forced America into a response that escalated into a two-theater war. America's dual interests in the region are clear: destroy jihadist groups to protect the homeland and prevent Arabian Peninsula oil from falling under a single regional power's control. Historically, only Iran and Iraq have been potentially powerful enough to dominate the Arabian Peninsula. Rather than occupying Arabia directly, the United States has followed classic imperial strategy by encouraging rivalry between these powers, playing them against each other. When Iraq narrowly won their war and later invaded Kuwait, America applied overwhelming force, but only to evict, not invade Iraq, maintaining regional balance while protecting oil flow. The 2003 Iraq invasion violated this fundamental strategic principle. While the invasion succeeded, pacifying Iraq proved impossible. U.S. forces became tied down in an insurgency, transforming Iraq from a means to project power outward into an end in itself. With Iraq no longer an effective counterweight, Iran became the dominant regional power, creating the central geopolitical challenge. Iran adopted North Korea's playbook, developing nuclear technology while cultivating an image of unpredictability. The solution may require an American-Iranian alliance, distasteful yet necessary, similar to past arrangements with Stalin and Mao. Such an arrangement would demonstrate America isn't controlled by Israel, put pressure on Saudi Arabia, and create new regional dynamics. Vladimir Putin's rise to power transformed Russia. Coming from the intelligence services, the one institution that never stopped functioning during the chaos, Putin viewed the world geopolitically rather than ideologically. Recognizing Russia could never catch up industrially with the West, he brilliantly shifted Russia's economic strategy to focus on natural resources, particularly energy. This created a sustainable economy, strengthened the Russian state through Gazprom, and made Europe, especially Germany, dependent on Russian energy. Despite its resurgence, Russia faces fundamental long-term weaknesses. Its declining population and poor infrastructure make a modern economy difficult to sustain. Russia must capitalize on its current advantages, German energy dependence, and American distraction in the Middle East. America's core interest in Eurasia remains preventing any single power from dominating the region. A unified Russia-Europe would create a force whose population, technology, and resources would likely surpass America's. The countries caught between, the Intermariam nations from the Baltic to Black Sea, become strategically vital to American interests, with Poland being the most important. Meanwhile, the European Union's limitations became painfully apparent during the 2008 financial crisis. Unlike America, which established federal sovereignty through civil war, the EU remains merely a confederation where sovereignty rests with individual nations. When crisis struck, Germany balked at shouldering the burden, instead directing Eastern Europeans to the IMF. This decision underscored how far Europe was from being a unified entity. The Western Pacific's current stability masks looming challenges. China's remarkable growth, sparked by Deng Xiaoping's reforms, has created stark disparities. Only 5% of Chinese live in middle-class households earning over $20,000 annually, while 80% endure extreme poverty comparable to sub-Saharan Africa. This disparity creates a dangerous divide, with coastal regions more aligned with foreign trading partners than their own interior. As growth inevitably slows, China faces serious risks. Its producer-heavy economy, rising labor costs, and increasing competition threaten employment stability. Japan has managed its post-1990 economic challenges differently. Its social cohesion enabled sacrificing growth for employment stability. Though facing demographic decline with shrinking generations, Japan's situation remains more manageable than China's, lacking the burden of massive poverty. America's Western Pacific strategy must focus on delay and deflection while addressing priorities in Russia and the Middle East. Success depends on strengthening partnerships with Korea, Australia, and Singapore to manage future regional challenges. America's global empire creates unavoidable entanglements worldwide. With 25% of the world economy and dominant market influence, America must manage multiple challenges: Islamic world chaos, a resurgent Russia, European division, and China's troubles. Disentangling isn't realistic given these extensive global interests. This imperial trajectory, begun in 1898, can't be reversed, only managed by balancing moral principles with power realities. Power's exercise is inherently morally ambiguous, yet principles mean nothing without the power to defend them. Pursuing universal rights requires both moral conviction and pragmatic force. America's fundamental strength lies in oceanic dominance, which ensures security, enables intervention, and controls trade. While asymmetric threats matter, preparing for systemic wars between major powers remains crucial. This demands focus on naval power and space-based systems alongside streamlined foreign policy. The empire challenges the republic's moral foundation. Success requires a Machiavellian leader combining power awareness with moral clarity, functional institutions, and a mature citizenry accepting national responsibility. America's true power exceeds common perception, its challenges dwarfed by its capabilities. The path forward demands embracing our paradoxical role as a reluctant empire guided by republican values.